Blog Talk Radio.
With the problem. At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Mommy, I love you, boy. Let me take you down to St. Croix. Put away your tie. Be a bit of a bundle of tie. You want to keep mommy, I love you, boy. Let me take you down to St. Croix.
Bump up in the ear, yeah. They like you, what you hear.
road can't bend them back. Do it easy if you do, whether you see my young fat.
Nothing no wrong, y'all.
All right, enough of that. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. And got something interesting going on here. I put the title up there by shortening it, maybe mostly so people can ask questions about the show. But it's White Man Taught You How to... Renee, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
The only penis belongs in my hand is my own.
I know that's right. How you doing, Chef?
I'm all right.
You all right? You sure?
I might need some therapy after we have this discussion, so.
I know, but you know what? You're doing so well because you at least saw a little bit of it. You have an understanding. So you're doing better than you were yesterday.
Thank you, doctor. I feel so much better now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, man. I was like, oh, man, listen, look at that. You sent that. I was like, okay, well, yeah, we can do that. Ooh. So I just kind of,
right.
Like I said, I just took that one word out.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Because a few people, sent me some messages saying, hey, jump what? Yeah, come check it out. You'll find out.
Right.
So, with that being said, I want you to go because it was a few parts that stood out to me. So when you get to them parts, I'll go ahead and really chime in. But break it down from the beginning. What was there?
Okay.
What's even your motivation for this?
Okay. My motivation just for this whole situation is I was noticing more and more and more on television, just everywhere, that it seemed like there was some issue that was being pushed to have all of these gay black men or have these more effeminate black men on everything. And, there's a show like The Fashion Queens and just in so many things that we look at or we tend to look at are popular, rather, in the black community. And then at that time, it was a lot of athletes were coming out. Also from on the personal side for me, I have two really good friends that I grew up with who are gay. And one of them passed away about 3 years ago from HIV. And, and I'm not saying that every gay person gets that or anything of that sort, but he was in that lifestyle pretty deep, and it was just hard to lose him like that. Just, it was very quick. And then I have another friend who was really like my brother. And, just dealing with, I went from being like brother and sister to being like sister and sister. I mean, he transitioned all the way from being a guy, masculine, everything, to being completely, effeminate, everything, to wearing makeup and all that. So it just is different. And being around him specifically, I got insight on some of the things that go on. So it was like a combination of things. And it cannot be denied anymore. I mean, anybody who's denying it, they just likely choose not to see it. Because, at this point, it's like you can't really deny it anymore that this is going on. So anyway, that's how it kind of, that idea came in my mind.
What would be the denial? You know, what do you hear?
Oh, I hear it's not a big deal. That's their business. That's their private business. Why do you care? You know, we have bigger issues. We have black-on-black crime. We have
One of your responses should have gone ahead and said, this isn't a big issue. I mean, this isn't a big issue to go ahead and take your warriors and make them, you know, lay down their arms and not fight and go ahead and surrender to those who want to treat you like shit.
Exactly. You know, and they would tell me, well, and this is a big one they would constantly say is, what about all these men? You're talking to the wrong people. What about all these men having all these babies?
Okay, well, you guys are trying not to have babies, so which is worse?
Exactly. Right. You know, and baby mamas, and then there's always then the insults or the attacks at black women from gay black men consistently across the board. They will always first say that thing about you need all these guys out here having multiple babies, multiple baby mamas, and then the next thing they really, really push is that black women out here acting like hoes and, you know,
hold on.
Black women.
Uh-huh. You know, like, you've done the videos, you're doing research, but you don't think some of these guys, these gay dudes out here acting like hoes?
Right. And I've even, you know, they even go so far. They go so far as to tell me that black women are the reason that a lot of these guys are going gay.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me what that means.
Mm-hmm. Basically, from the ones who have said this to me that I was able to go back and forth with, they said that because black women are mean and bitter and angry and domineering and... ghetto, ratchet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait, but which one of the gay dudes is going ahead and saying that? The one who wants to be a woman or the gay dude who wants to be with another gay dude?
Typically, I believe it's the ones who want to be a woman.
They never had no intentions on messing with women anyway.
Right. But it can be either one. It can be either one. But in my experience, I think it tended to be the one who was wanting to be the feminine one in the situation. And, in fact, this one guy, he's a young guy. So he's young. And he told me that his boyfriend, he used to date black women. And mind you, his boyfriend is like 19 or 20. He's like 19. And my boyfriend used to date black women, and he said that they are so mean and ratchet and all this kind of stuff.
So does that cover every black woman on the planet? I mean, that's a real broad statement. You can't go ahead because you – okay, well, you get a
right.
pack of cookies. You get a pack of cookies, and one of them got a worm in it. You know, not all of them going to have a worm in it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so you might have that mm-hmm. one, you know, like, okay, because it's got that worm just embedded right in it. And you mm-hmm. go ahead and you, okay, well, all of them may not have that. So, you know, you can't go ahead and say one black woman just tainted the whole bunch. You got to go ahead and at least do some research and go ahead and check out. That's why you get out here and talk and mingle. I mean, that shit don't make no sense.
Right. And that's what I told them. I said, and that's what I told any of them who ever said that to me. That's an excuse. That's a low blow. You know, that's an easy target because right now, well, for, you know, several years, it's been the whole angry black woman thing going on. And so a lot of times when black men want to give some type of excuse about black women for whatever reason, they will tend to target that and say, you know, how angry black women are or whatever, fill in the blank, you know, but, and that's what they did. And I said, that is such a lie. That's such a cop-out, because even if I cannot see any man who would go to another man, would go to anal sex with men and all this involvement with a man because he couldn't, he didn't like black women or black women's attitudes. I mean, there are, even if you go that route, there are other races of women. I mean, even if you built that way, you know, fine, but there's plenty of other races of women, you know, before you just have to say, oh, you know what, I'm going to be with the man. I mean, that's BS. So I've heard that. I've heard that. But, yeah, so the response, whew, the response from gay people, gay black men, has been just, man, off the charts. I mean, they initially always tend to start by calling me a B word or a hoe or something like that.
Okay, so them two words I can say, but no disrespect. So how is it you can be a bitch or a hoe when you go ahead and you point out their inconsistencies?
Well, that's the whole thing, is they don't want people to do that. And that's the thing, and me personally, like I said, when I've done so much research on this, it's ridiculous. But even talking to gay black men, like I told you before, I had had that one show where they just went in on me. But a lot of them, they want to, like one of them said to me, well, you don't like us, or you feel the way you feel because you're thinking about the type of sex that we have. And I told him. And I told him, well, yes. I mean, that's part of it. And
that's the biggest part of it.
Right. But see, the thing is, they don't, that's the whole thing. They don't want you to think about that. They want you to think about love. That's why I say they tend to use buzzwords when they're talking to heterosexual people about gay relationships, because they want you to have a positive feeling and not to think about the reality of, you know what I'm saying, of that lifestyle.
Mm.
Yeah, so they don't want you to know. See, what I put in this latest video is I pretty much got down to the nitty-gritty part of it. Like, okay, this is actually what takes place. This is what they do at gay pride events. This is, you know, what they do. And they did not like that. Of course, like I told you, they got me shut down on YouTube. And YouTube appealed.
A lot of them people who monitor YouTube and a lot of them people who work for Google, they're gay. So you go ahead and expose them some stuff they don't want to be have put out. You got to think about that. They're going to defend their lifestyle. So, but I want you to go ahead and talk about the beginning, the very beginning of this video. These are the first 2 minutes of it. Or you want to go ahead?
The very beginning of the video. Goodness, let me pull it up, because I done had so much just like going on in my head. It's been so much going on with this. And some of the images are like so off the charts that I even have to look myself. Okay, I got it. I even have to look myself at like, okay, what the heck? All right. Okay. But just to start with the title, I wanted something that is bold. It's in your face. It's attention grabbing.
Yeah.
But also a question in your mind, because you're like, well, what, you know, what is she talking about? Well, what does she mean? You know, so that's what I basically wanted to do with that. But, okay, so in the beginning, I'm talking a lot about how I'm going to break everything down. But I'm talking about Obama. I'm talking about, you know, all the indoctrination of this stuff that has been done, and the fact that Obama, which, you know, they called him on Newsweek the first gay president.
Right.
Okay. You know, just how they had called Bill Clinton before the first
Yeah, they said like they did with Bill Clinton. They set the tone for his presidency, and he's been doing exactly that.
Right, right.
You know, okay, I want you to finish, pick up where you left off, but real quick, how much did you talk about, because I zipped through it, it was kind of painful, but I did listen to a few things. But the part I want to see if you covered was that in the America and Europe, you know, pretty much all whites and Europeans are pushing the whole gay thing in Africa.
Right.
I talked to some people in Africa, and I talked to some people almost daily, you know, and they constantly tell me, hey, look, we don't want this. But if we don't go ahead and if they realize that if we don't accept this way of life, you know, they want to cut off aid to us. So it's some leaders in Africa like, okay, we'll keep your aid, but we're not going to go ahead and accept this lifestyle. So this is some of those places that it's not going to accept that whole, you know, making gay marriage legal. Just being mm-hmm. not gay marriage legal, just being gay, period, in their countries, making that legal. Some of these leaders are like, you know, hey, look, you can go ahead and keep that stuff. We're going to go ahead and do what we want, and we leave you alone.
Right.
But the some of these places that's going ahead and is in opposition, the U.S. is trying hard to undermine and go ahead and create a lot of turmoil by doing other problems, and they're good at that, real good at that. They have a history of doing that. And I honestly, I hate to say this, but I feel that the U.S. is going to succeed in going ahead and fucking up these places. Some of these places also... That they're pushing to go ahead and have the whole gay lifestyle legal in Africa. Some of these places got big time pedophiles coming from Europe and
mm-hmm.
from America,
mm-hmm.
and it's mm-hmm. crazy. Some there strictly for the little boys. You got some guys coming there for little girls, but the amount of guys coming there and women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they had this. What was she? I think she was in Uganda. 70-year-old woman buying up little boys. Buying little boys,
wow.
Giving them Viagra.
Really?
Man, these are the kind of stories that don't come out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I ain't
you can't watch.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. But, I didn't go in too deep on that. I pretty much... I talked pretty much about America, you know, and the roots of this situation here. I was talking about the indoctrination, the fact that, like I said in the video, Obama, he signed in more bills for gays, for the gay community, than for any other group, including
yep.
black people.
Yep.
Yeah. And a lot of the research I did says that for his second term, it is the gays, in fact, who got him into office on that second term. And that was kind of the deal he had to do. And, you know, also the fact that a lot of people say things about his sexuality. You know, that was part of the deal or the package was he had to approve these gay, you know, bills or laws that they wanted to come through. He had to approve of gay marriage. And, you know, and he did. And, you know, he got in the office and he approved of those things. So what he did, I mean, he screwed up big time. He screwed up big time. Because even though so many people do not have respect for him as a president, he still set a precedent when he okayed that. Because, you know, he still has that title, you know, above all, even if the title really doesn't mean much because he's not the one running anything, but he still has that title. And so the fact that he okayed that, the fact that he went ahead and supports it and supported so many other things for that community, it has really changed everything. And I don't know if people can really tell yet, but people will begin to tell more and more, because when it comes from the top, it comes all the way down eventually that, you know, it's acceptable. So now that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with states now that are being forced. They are being forced. And this is what I really don't like about this whole thing. In addition to, I don't think it's just my belief, but is that now they are forcing states. States that did not, you know, that it was voted down, that the people did not support it, that the politicians in office did not support it. But now they are making these states take it to the federal level. So you are twisting people's arm. You are forcing them. You are forcing them to accept gay marriage.
That's what I just said, because they've already messed up a lot of countries in Africa, okay?
Right.
And if the Africans, if our brothers and sisters in Africa, my fellow Africans go here and pull their heads out the ass and say, hey, look, we're going to fight. Fuck y'all. You're going to get out of here.
Right.
You know, we're going to take whatever stuff you value here, the resources that you keep going ahead and siphoning off and sending to Europe and America, or building these products, going ahead and taking the raw materials out of Africa, then sending them over to China and selling them back to me. If they would just go ahead and take care of just a small amount of the resources, they wouldn't have to deal with some of that bullshit. And that's what they do. They got to have something hanging over your head to get you to
right.
conform.
To get you to conform, absolutely. But on the video, I also was pointing out how, there's a magazine by Vixen, okay? We know this magazine is, or if people don't know, it's usually a beautiful black woman on the cover who's talented, you know, or doing something major in the entertainment field. They put on the cover this, the name misses me right now, but this transsexual who plays on this show, Orange is the New Black, which I love the show. But this transsexual, they have the transsexual on the cover of the woman's magazine. And people don't understand that something like that is meant to be one of those subtle things done to desensitize you, because then you see it and then you think, oh, well, you know, it's not that bad, or, you know, well, they had a sex change or whatever he did, I don't know, but, you know, okay. And that right there begins to let the guard down, the fact that they will pull a move like that. This is not a woman, okay? This is not a woman. Regardless.
You know what? How do you go ahead and deal with that argument? Oh, this is not a woman. Just because you – look, if a man got his finger cut off, he's still a man with his finger cut off.
Right.
Okay, so he just because, you know, this man got his ding-a-ling cut off, he's still a man with his ding-a-ling cut off. He's still – that's not a woman.
But see, and this takes me into – I'm gonna get to that. But what I wanted to say too was I showed the cover of XXL with Soulja Boy on it. You know, he was younger at the time, and 50 Cent is standing behind him with the like a mask. His face wrapped up. Only his eyes can be seen, and he's got his arms, like, almost around his neck from the back. And it's like, again, there was a time, you know, years ago or whatever, that if somebody did a cover like that, all the other rappers would have came out and slammed it and talked about that it was gay, or that doesn't represent hip-hop, or they need to take that down, or they need to change it, that it looks like pedophilia, which it does, you know, people would have said something. But now,
right.
No, nobody's saying anything. They let this cover exist, and the cover looks sick. It looks sick. And he's holding his penis. Soulja Boy on the front. He's holding his penis. He looks scared or very nervous. I mean, I'm like, who okayed this?
Yeah. I got a woman doctor. I got a woman doctor, okay? That's how serious about me not letting another man be fondling me.
Right. Right.
But you
know it, Chef, that there would have been all kind of rappers and people talking about that picture.
Exactly.
You know, anymore.
No, it's not. You know, and this is one of those changes that just really, you know, we got too many changes that are going in the negative direction, but this is one that's just really going downhill real fast.
Yeah, it really is.
So I want you to tell me a little bit about the video. Go ahead, go into like maybe the next 5 minutes of the video.
Okay. All right. So I get into showing some things about where is all of this coming from? Where is it that these things stem from? You know, what is it that we're doing? I go into even showing now how that's the new hustle to get on, you know, as a rapper, is to be a gay rapper. These rappers are getting all types of exposure for being black.
Wait, did you see the gay rapper on was it David Letterman?
Yes, he's in the video.
Oh my goodness.
He's in the video, absolutely. He's in the video. And that's what I'm saying. It's people like that. These people are not really talented or got anything going on, but they're going to get promoted. They're going to get shine and attention and media coverage because they're gay and black and young men, and that's what they want to show. This is what they want to show to the world. This is what they want to reflect, is that all of these young guys, young black men, these guys are gay. And let's show everybody. This is, and it's also to inspire others, you know, to go in that direction. But anyway, so I'm showing how that's the new gimmick to get on. I'm showing how on YouTube there are so many shows about gay black men. I mean, so many shows. Off the charts. And that was another reason I got into this, because I had sent a comment to a guy who's a producer for NBC, and he produced a show on YouTube about gay black men and about Down Low and all this stuff. And I asked him, for your position, why could you not do something that was positive for the black community? Why could you not show a black family? Why could you not produce something like that? We don't need to see this.
They love each other. It's love.
Right. Love. Right. Love. But yeah, so I'm going in on that. And so then, oh yeah, let me tell you this too. I had to go there with the church. Now, I'm definitely not, you know,
no. A
religious person like that. But I had to show how now in the church, I showed, like, Eddie Long. He's sitting up there posing with a picture. We know all the stuff he did with them boys and everything, but he's in a picture now with this transsexual. I showed that other guy who was on camera. I saw the video of the guy, who was Kevin Perry, who was sucking the guy's penis on video. That disturbed me to my soul. And I also showed how now in California, Georgia, and Washington, D.C., they have these black churches, Christian churches now, okay, and they follow the Bible, and they have these gay pastors. Of course, they have to be black men. Mm-hmm. It's just got to be a black man. They're black men, and their man, okay, their man is called the First Gentleman. And there's a whole lot more of this than people think. And they were definitely in pictures. They're in pictures together with the Bible, posing together, these two men, you know, talking about the events that are going on for the church. They tend to have nice-sized congregations, everything. And, and I said again, there was a time that a black church could have never done something like that. It would not have been allowed. There would not have been a congregation. People would have been outraged, especially the elders of the church. And we know that it's been homosexual behavior going on in the black church forever. We know that the church has fostered a lot of gay men, gay black men. But at the same time, now it's just, they don't even hide it. They have it out in front of your face. This is my man. And yes, I am preaching the Bible to you, but so what? This is my man. I'm gay, and it's nothing wrong with it.
Go check this out. Why don't you go ahead and tap on to where, because I want you to talk some more about your video, but
okay.
I got a few questions talking about why do you think the white man is responsible for this whole thing.
Okay.
You say that in the video, okay, too, don't you?
Yes, yes. Okay, I will get to that. Now, this came to from having conversations with gay black men and bringing this, what I feel, this idea of, and or saying that this is what I used to say. I would say, this is not of you. This is not of our people. And they would say, what do you mean? What do you mean? There was homosexuality always. There was homosexuality everywhere. And there was in Africa, and white people didn't give this to us and all this kind of stuff. Now, from all of my research that I did, there was never any word for homosexuality. There was never any reference to it. I'm not saying that it did not exist.
Hold on. Back up. Say that again. There was not a word, because it's a few things that we have that there's no African reference to. And one word is cousin that I always think, but that word homosexual, that was not an African word. So, you know, go ahead. Please get in a little bit more into that.
Okay, there was no word. There was no language. There was nothing that dealt with, that talked about or that referred to homosexuality, homosexual behavior, homosexual people. Now, the thing about it is, again, that's not saying that homosexual behavior did not exist, but it was not something that was recognized, okay? It was not something recognized. Had it been, wouldn't it have been some type of wording, language, to be able to reference it? So, again, you have to look at what information we do have. And the information
hold on. Just like I was saying about the word cousin, because if you really pay attention, if you go here and you do your research, even go here and talk to people now, they'll always say, that's my brother, that's my sister.
Right.
The extended brother, my sister. There was no word for cousin.
Right. But, yeah, so in all the research and things, there was no word, okay? There was no word or reference to homosexual behavior or what have you until after Europeans began to come into Africa and study Africa and be involved in Africa. After that time, then there became some reference to it in language. Also, during the slave, in all of the slave journals, which is when, you know, the whites came and they observed the Africans in their native environment, and everything they did and was very detailed and documented. There was never, in all of the journals, any mention of homosexual behavior or interactions sexually between men and women. Men and men and women and women. There was nothing like that at all, okay? Now, again, I'm not saying it exists. It didn't exist, but we have to just look what the information we have says. Now, to jump forward, where I break it down at, okay, we have to understand what happened to us, okay? So we know that our ancestors, most of us here, our ancestors were slaves. We are descendants of slaves, okay? They were taken, of course, from their homeland, and eventually we ended up here, okay? We ended up here being slaves, being bought, being sold, being broken apart, not knowing the language, everything. Now, think about it in terms of we were definitely property. We were not considered human. And think of it in terms of a group of people who were so black-hearted and cold and vicious to actually rip people from their home, take them, sell them, buy them, force them to work, treat them like animals, not even consider them human. Why would they not do any and everything they wanted to do to these people? We had no way to collectively really fight back or do anything against it. Okay, so you have to, again, understand the psychology of it, that whites that were here are originally descended of Europe. We know that there was the existence of the Roman Empire. Okay, we know that there was complete pederasty. We know that there was complete homosexuality. We know that there was tons of that type of thing going on, okay, within the Roman culture. We don't have to guess about that or wonder, like people are trying to say about Africa. No, we know directly, okay? There's even some anthropologists and some researchers who feel like homosexuality is what eventually caused the Roman Empire to fall, because it went into such a state of anarchy. It went into such a state of weakening the men, weakening the people, and, you know, eventually it fell. So anyway, you have to remember that those things existed, okay? So that part of that, in my opinion, is something that they have in their psychology, okay? Now, again, you take these people, they don't consider us human. So any sexual proclivities they have, any sexual desires, any whatever they want to do, they want to try, they have a group of people whom are captive that they can do these things to, and they don't have to worry about any repercussions or anything going on, okay? So we all know that the slave masters or the white men would rape black women. We know that, of course. There were many mulatto children and things evidenced by that. But what people don't understand is that the men, especially the young men and boys, were also raped, okay? They were also raped. And there was also a desire from, you know, some of these that had those tendencies to, in a sense, turn them out, or to weaken them, or to take their manhood, okay? So there was something called buck breaking, and this is where the guys who were very muscular, who were the young guys, you know, and they had bucks who were the breeders, who they would put with women to breed the strongest slaves that they possibly could. And so these guys, if they even had any sense of resistance, if they even had any sense of, you know, not falling in line, they would make it a point to have their family. If he had a son, they would have his firstborn son put in the front row, and they would have either other slaves or other white men in front of everyone, his woman, whatever. And they would hold him down, and the slave master would then sodomize him. in front of everyone. So when you do something like that, you have to consider these are men already in a state of disarray, obviously. They're already have a broken spirit to an extent by what is done to them and the fact that they cannot protect their women and children. And then you take them and you just come, because they at least had some sense of manhood, you know, especially considering a lot of them were breeders and things like that. And then you go and you just completely ravage it. And, you know, you can just imagine the humiliation that those men will feel being in front of their kids, their sons, their woman or their wife. I mean, and other men in the group and other women. So these type of things existed. These type of things happened. They would also take young men, children, boys, and they would many times dress them up as girls, as women, you know, in the women's attire of that day, you know, dresses, wigs, skirts, whatever. And then they would have other men there. It was said that there would be multiple men a lot of times with this situation. And then, of course, they would engage in sexual behavior by force, or at this point turning some of them out. And so and that would go on. So what I was trying to get some people to understand is there is a history of this type of thing being pushed upon our culture, okay? There's a history there that exists in America, in the Black American, that this type of perversion, this type of degradation was put on us. Now, again, I'm not saying that homosexuality never existed, but you have to recognize that we were a people who came through so much trauma. And they say trauma is genetic, that trauma is passed through your DNA. Now, what they did was, through doing this type of behavior and all the things that were done to us, of course, it caused us to have a mistrust and distrust of each other as Black people. It caused us to then section off with house Negroes and field Negroes and light skin and dark skin. And it infiltrated a lot of issues within us. But also what was false is that sexual deviancy began to foster. And so then you had things like, that remain a big issue today, but molestation. And we would be so quiet, people would be so quiet about it. These type of things were kept very quiet. And they were kept like that in the Black community now even, and for the longest time. So you can imagine at that time that people couldn't talk about it. And if your daddy or if your whoever was messing around with you as a little girl or whatever, I mean, what could you do? So we and again, with that trauma, with that pain, with all of that stuff, we began to act out sexually. We began to act out more hypersexually because we were used as sex objects. We were used as that. And they had even what they call sex farms. And I think a couple of years ago, they even tried to open one up. Where they had the same setup where Black people were there in slave costuming, and they would tie up these white men. But anyway, those things really did exist at that time. And the white men could come there and they could travel around to different sex farms in different states or cities. And, you know, they could go there and sleep with the men and women, Black, you know, slaves.
You know what? We'll take a quick break. I want you to go ahead and post the video in the chat room so some people can check that out. So give me about 3 minutes and come back. Okay?
Okay.
Yo! Bless the love and greeting. Yeah.
Here comes the musical thing called Bring Your Queen and Lock Your Machine. Oh, yeah.
Pull up, 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 pull up,
here comes the musical thing called Bring Your Queen and Lock Your Machine. Oh yeah. But a wee boo, but a wee boo, but a wee boo, yeah, yeah. Oh. Hey, I love the vibes, I know the rhythm, my job. But men are coming at the dance, I shop. Music is all we got. Now we must defend it.
Dance
Amiga.
Dance hall, the people say.
Yes, it's where everyone's gathering.
Need no bothering,
I just love. So everyone, everyone, my friend. And all the girls I'm dressed, yeah. And everyone that come express themselves, them dressed to impress. One black love, one Africanness.
Well, I say pull up, pull up, pull up, mentality from the top.
The music's on the street, but check the message that I got. Here come the musical thing, bring your queen a lot, your glock. And the truth and the nuts, who are so chat.
Dance all, don't need no
man and woman for part.
Everyone is a star.
Like King Alpha and Mama Mika.
Dance the people's church.
Yes, it's where everyone's gathering.
Need no pardon. I just love.
So everyone, everyone must come. I know the rhythm, my child. And taxi gang is under your dark, yeah.
Rory has the control tower. Play them driven every hour.
Dance all, don't need no war.
Man and woman apart.
Everyone is a star.
Lighting up and Mama Mika.
Dance all, the people's church.
It's where
I
just love. So everyone, everyone,
rock on the beat.
Everyone, everyone,
even my team.
Everyone, everyone,
bring in your queen.
Everyone, everyone,
music to
me. Everyone, everyone,
must come together.
Everyone, 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 the sweetest sweet relief that. The music hard, but look at the message that I got. Into the music I sing, I bring the queen and lock your jack. The truth man not jack and the sword so jack. The black child in the building and we rule the hill top. And when we come and dance, I'll know we not to stop. And love is in the heart, I tell you joy is what we got. And I let her, I let her be, I tell you that.
And
no, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who are here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. Mm-hmm. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestors way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough, but, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough, the pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffered as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. That was the great Jesse Lee Peterson thanking the white man for butt breaking. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
You heard that, Sophie?
Yeah. You know what?
And this
you
dude here,
I'm going
to try to get the brother, Dr. Umar, on the show again. Because he went at, was interviewed on this guy's show. And so what you
right.
just broke about butt breaking and what was going on with the Roman Empire, and we got idiots like this and some others
mm-hmm.
that are here defending
mm-hmm.
that whole thing about slavery and saying it wasn't such a bad thing and it was a good thing that he got blacks here, but, you know, like blacks really doing real well here.
Right.
This guy is just really, really messed up. So I had actually sent an email to them, and I haven't gotten a response back to that church. So I really wanted him to come and talk to me, but I don't think I'm big enough yet because he went at Brother Umar Johnson. But go on about the video, because I had to play that clip. It just fit right in to what you were
yeah.
saying about.
But, you know, first of all, somebody like that is just a fool. You know, there's no reason on earth why that man should have a talk show, a radio show, or anything. But because he fits the bill of what they want to hear, what they want black people to feel and believe, he's on the air. And he's able to have somebody like Dr. Umar on. And I give so much respect to him because I could not listen to the whole interview. I had to
yeah, me either.
Cut it off. I was so upset.
Me either. I had to, because I think it was about 30 minutes. And
yeah.
I think like.
It was about 30 minutes, I think.
Because he kept coming in, and but you're saying this. And it's truly a thing where he's sitting there in the studio and he got the white folks feeding him all these questions,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he has sell out mm-hmm. himself.
Because mm-hmm.
you got to really, mm-hmm. you ain't got to. Just go check him out. You know, he got a lot of YouTube videos and saying a lot of wild stuff, man. Just really off the wall stuff.
And
not
and that's just your attention.
And yeah, and you go ahead and you look at, you know, like what like the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
He bounced on he says some other complete nonsense. So
right.
he also feeds into that mentality too about, well, there were gay people in Africa. You just broke it down. That's a lot of bullshit.
But here's something else. Mm-hmm.
Even with in a lot of African societies, even to this day, where a man is allowed to have multiple wives, some, especially the ones who had wealth, would go ahead and encourage their women to teach the new wives how to please the husband. So they would go ahead and do certain things with them, which would consider to be lesbian, but they weren't lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's some stuff. It's kind of tricky to how they go ahead and use it, but it's really some bullshit. It's really you don't find a whole lot of man on man. You don't find a lot of women on women. But you have to go ahead and really look and research and find that thing where, hey, look, man, the women were taught to go ahead and please the man through these sexual acts.
I mean, but but that cannot be, that's something that's really, really, really going to be on a personal level. And those people are already engaged in a marriage. They're already,
right.
You know what I mean? So that's going to be something
it.
That they did with inside of their marriage versus
right.
if they did do those things versus this is just being something pushed on a whole society of people, you know,
right.
to just adopt this type of stuff. But, yeah, but just to pick up, I guess, where I left off, so you take in mind all of these things, like I said, that began, you know, a real, I mean, even though we were broken and all that, but we have to remember there were so many things implanted in our community here that did more to break us further apart. Like I talked about the skin color and house and field and all of that kind of stuff. So we began to pick up so many of these things. Now, I'm not saying that the white man is the ultimate responsibility for everything, because
hold on. The issue I have, like I had this one discussion with this sister a little while ago, and she was trying to tell me, well, that don't go ahead and justify it with a lot of these people and their actions today. And I tried to tell her, yes, it does. Because if that's all you know and that's the mindset the people who before you
right.
had, pass it down to you. So how did the people before you get that mindset? That mindset was passed on and on. So that's why you got a lot of individuals who don't go ahead and respect another brother or sister. Or they go ahead and engage in this kind of silliness, this nonsense, because they feel that that's life. That's how it is. That's how it always has been, which is not true.
Right. But why I say that, though, is because, you know, I believe that when you know better, you do better. And
mm-hmm.
I think now what we're dealing with is a lot of people who just don't want to know better. It's not that they cannot know better, and that's what disgusts me now, is because
yeah.
there's a lot of people feeding into this ratchet thing just to feed into it, you know? And they know better. They know better, but they don't want to know better. I mean, they don't want to do better, even though they know better, because we are so swallowed up by all of these quote-unquote trends and what's popular, and everybody's about turning up and all of that right now. And so you have a whole lot of us, especially our younger people or people around my age, maybe slightly younger, who are like, they know better, but they're not choosing to do that because it's fitting in and it's popular to do something else, you know? So that's why I say I cannot completely give every piece of blame. I mean, we know what the deal on that is. But it's at a certain time, black people, we got to wake up. I mean, we have to realize what's going on. That's why I wanted to put this information out there, because, and I'm not trying to be like on some I told you so kind of thing.
But yes, you should be. You should be. Shit, I told you so.
Don't be doing that.
Don't do no surrender stuff. I don't like that.
But what I'm saying is, Chef, looking about 3 years, 3 to 5 years, if we continue on this road, woo-hoo, man, see, then that's when we're going to get to that point where black folk are going to start reacting. See, now is the time when we see
wait.
All of
they
this
need
stuff
kicking
up. I know. And that's why I'm saying I'm trying to put this stuff out there now to not just try to be on some I told you so, but to be on some wake your ass up. So wake up now so that I don't feel like I have to be in a position of saying I told you so. Because so many black people, man, so many black folks, so many of my people are fighting me tooth and nail on this issue. And you know who's
yeah.
fighting me the most?
Mm.
Black women. Mm-hmm. Black women. black women.
Because I keep on saying that, hey, look, how can you say there's a lack of good black men out here, but you're supporting this lifestyle? Mm-hmm. Don't just go ahead and limit the amount of good black men that's out there.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm not seeing. Do y'all not see a correlation between, like, what is the defense, the defending of them for? Like, why are you defending this? And, you know, these women have called me all kind of names, okay? They have said everything in the book to me. Now, mind
so
you, I have,
you ain't never told them, hey, look, are you not competing for the same shit-eating penis that they want?
You know what?
Trying to be nice.
I just, I have, you know, and I said, well, if you don't think of it in those terms, think of it in terms of your daughter. And how this stuff is going now, your daughters is not going to have a very, very even smaller selection of black men to choose from when they want to get married, when they want to settle down, when they want to have a family. I mean, and that's what I try to tell them, can you think about it in terms of that, of your little daughters? And all of these boys is getting turned out. But see, black women are some of us, are accepting this because several reasons. One, because so many black women now have come up in these single mother homes. So, again, they see the very dominant side of women, and they see women running things, okay? So when you have a gay black man, he's going to tend to be much more effeminate, of course. He's going to tend to be more docile. And so then that helps that woman to remain in a powerful position in the friendship, okay, because then they can still keep him at this certain level. Because when you have a woman take over the whole family structure, that's the balance. It just does. And so that's why we have these very, very masculine black women now, and that they want to run men. A lot of them want to run men. So if you can have a gay friend, okay, and you can run him, then why not do it? So then you have them doing that, okay? And then sometimes I honestly believe, that it's still to have a man in their life. Even though this man don't want them, he's still in their life.
Does that go to that thing where, hey, look, well, he can change. One day he'll love me, that kind of shit?
Yeah, that kind of thing, too. We have that bad. But we have that thing bad to where we just want somebody, you know? And that has caused so much bad relationships and many, many kids out of wedlock and all kind of stuff. But we have, like, all of these complex issues, and you would think that black women would be outraged about all these gay black men. You would think black women would be standing up and saying, don't blame us for what you're doing, and why are you not standing up and being men? Why are you not, you know,
here's a message that I hear a lot of times. That a lot of black women are some partially single black moms are partially responsible for, you know, these young men being gay because
right. They
going ahead and showing them certain things. Because a lady told me once that, hey, look, she had to stop her son because she's a single parent. She raising her son, and she noticed that a lot of things that she did, he did. He was squatting pee, so. I mean, she was squatting pee, and so would he.
That's exactly what you're saying, Chef. That's what's going on. And these mamas now, they to the point now, see, it was a time when black women, black mothers was not having that. You better not come in here gay with no boyfriend and no man, and you better not come in here with your eyebrows arched and all of these different things and makeup and all this stuff. But now, because everything has been turned upside down, what's good is bad, what's bad is good. And a lot of black women, again, not having a man influence in the home, not having a masculine influence in the home, they tend to baby these boys they baby them from a very young age. They help to feminize them from a very young age. They do things like having their sons carry their purse and having, and see, those things seem like small things. But when you're a child, you've got to talk about children. They're very impressionable.
Right.
And so when you start, you know, it's almost then like you're telling the little boy, it's okay for you to carry a purse.
You well, know, you see that one, it's one YouTube video talking about this little boy wearing his mom's shoes, and she made, and the comment is hey, he looked better than me than I did with his shoes. I'm like, what the hell?
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
leave
your speechless, huh?
But see, as black women, we be hurt so bad inside. We be hurt so bad. But we have to put on all this armor. We have to look like we're strong. And you know, we have to be defensive at all times. We've got to be ready to attack. And so I think because some of these women feel at fault or at blame for not having a father there or whatever the situation is, they then in turn have to start defending their son because they're defending themselves. You understand what I'm saying? Because when people will say, well, your son's gay and this and the other, then they begin to feel that's an attack on them as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to defend him in order to defend themselves. And then that's where this whole thing continues to go crazy. Because then they have the boys going to the nail salon with them. They have the boys going shopping with them, you know. Oh, Mama, look at this purse. It's his right there, you know.
Oh, man. That hurts. And you know what? I want you to go into the dangers, because it's one part I saw in there about the dangers and the things. This ooh, what was it? I think he had warts or something in there. Was it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, talk about that part, because that. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing. This is what we got to know. This is what people need to know. What's happening now is homosexuality is being pushed or shown as a healthy lifestyle choice. That is just the
same. But you just talk about gay men, so it's not that same thing for lesbians, though, right?
It is. It actually
okay,
is.
We'll get into the gay men part.
Okay, so this is being pushed as a healthy lifestyle choice. They're just the same as heterosexuals. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, it's a-okay. Well, the reality is it's not. And this is from a medical standpoint, okay? This stuff I'm about to say, this is medically proven. This is the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, okay, affiliated with the government and all this stuff that does all these research. This is from those people that are saying these things, okay? And number one, you know, of course people know about HIV, but I'm going to get into some more things, but if you want to talk about HIV, the information that just came out as of February this year about black men, about gay black men, said that if a young black man has sex with another man, so a gay young boy has sex with another boy or man or whatever, by the time he's 18 years old, most of them, will have contracted HIV by the age of 30. Now, what's happening with this is, and see, it's very well known. It's very well known in the black gay community amongst the men, all about HIV. And what a lot of them do is they don't get tested. So a lot of them don't want to know. See, that's why I talk about my friend. They don't want to know.
I mean,
so
Hold on. If there's a chance, a possibility that you got something that could kill you, you don't want to know.
Right. And so then what happens is they just all of a sudden get sick. because, you know, that wears down your immune system. So the slightest thing, you get a cold or whatever, it can shut you down. And then that's typically how a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them find out that way, because they don't want to know. And so they just continue doing what they do. So anyway, so you're having this being well-known in the gay community. But what they're doing now is, and I'm trying to wake these gay black men up, but I know some of them are so sick. But what they're doing now is they're pushing these medications that they want them to take. It's for men, for gay men, basically, men with a risky lifestyle, a risky sexual lifestyle. They're supposed to take this medication, and if they're HIV negative, it's supposed to help them to keep from getting HIV. Now, what in the hell? Now, you tell me they don't, quote-unquote, have a cure for this?
Mm-hmm.
This medication could. Now, mind you, again, listen to the wording. It
well,
could.
Well, Magic Johnson's this, still around.
Right. But listen, there's no guarantee that it will keep you from getting that. They're saying it could keep you from getting that. And that's why I'm like, brothers, do y'all not see what's going on? So this is another way to get more money in the pharmaceutical, you know, companies, because a lot of these guys have started taking this medication because they want to continue the sexual lifestyle. And you see that they're not talking about, or they're not pushing for them to change the sexual lifestyle. They're talking about, you keep your same sexual lifestyle. Here, just take this pill, and it's a blue pill too. Just take the little blue pill, and it might kind of help you keep from getting HIV. And if it doesn't, oh well.
Oh well, we made money off. You want? Somebody's got their hand up. Let me see what's going on with this. 589-253. Your line is open. State your name. Where you're calling from. They hung up.
They must have been listening, I guess.
Yeah.
But people think that it's just, you know, HIV. So anyway, that's what's going on with HIV. Also, the other thing they're doing now is they're trying to push heavy, heavy, heavy in the black community, because it is us as black people that are most affected. Black gay men are the most affected by HIV. Now, white men have it. There's more of them that have it, but not when you look at percentages for the population. There's, of course, more gay white men than black men, you know, just because of population difference. But
right.
When you break it down by percentages, it affects us, you know, quite a bit more. It affects us big time. Now, so you have all of this stuff going on. They're now, because of these medications, like you talked about Magic Johnson, and he's saying that he doesn't get any medication that's different than what's available for everyone. Whatever. But anyway, they're having these medications, and so now they're trying to push this thing up. HIV is no longer a death sentence. They're trying to tell people that, oh, you can live a normal life, and all you take is two pills a day, or three pills a day, or one pill a day, or whatever. And that is so awful. That is so awful to push that message, because this is a death sentence. It is. This is never going to and they're not going to put out a cure for this anytime soon, because the money is in the comeback. The money is in the medication, not in the cure.
Yes, exactly.
It's,
they never
go
ahead
and
give you all of what it is to go ahead and cure you. Hold on. Let me 58518-253. Your line is open. State your name, where you calling from, and give me your question.
Peace, Brother Rob.
Peace. How you doing, bro?
I want to sort of lend credence, or not lend credence, but attach something I would like to say to what Sister's saying.
Go ahead.
Okay. The funny thing about it is, years ago, you know, they tried to convince us that HIV was not, you know, gender related. It was not specifically the homosexuals. Anybody could get it. It's like, you know, it's just as many heterosexuals as homosexuals have it and all this other stuff. Now, being a minister, you know, I have to travel in many different circles, and I got invited to be a part of an AIDS coalition years ago, like two different ones. One was sort of like a Caucasian one, and the other one was like a black one. So, you know, I go to this AIDS conference that they have, and they break up the groups by genders, you know, male and female. You get in the male group, and it's all homosexuals. You know? It's all homosexuals. And I'm looking mm-hmm. around, and I'm like, my God. You know, because it's one thing to be told something in the media. It's one thing to be told something by TV or whatever. But when you see for yourself, you're in a room full of people who are HIV positive, and they are all homosexual. The only person that wasn't in there that was homosexual was myself and another brother who was an Orthodox Muslim. Everybody else in there was homosexuals. And they started having mm-hmm. a conversation, and the conversation was not about AIDS. It was about how to be comfortable as a gay black man in society, and it was just making my skin crawl. So my thing is that I agree 1,000% with what Sister is saying, where they try to push this as a clean and health out, and anybody can get AIDS and all this mm-hmm. other stuff. But the reality of the situation is that, yo, you know, once you cross over, and I say this to my children all the time, once you become 40 and you cross over the 40-year band, what people tell you doesn't mean crap compared to what you see with your own eyes. Mm-hmm. And the reality of the situation is in this society, you can see very clearly that the number of AIDS cases and the people with it are 9 times out of 10 going to be homosexuals. And if you involve yourself in that lifestyle, that's right. the risk that you're going to have to take. So just saying that I agree 1,000% with what Sister is saying, and I also agree with what she's saying as far as them pushing it, because today my daughter graduated from, like, a program that she goes to. She's 11, but she goes to this college for pharmacy, and it's like, you know, they're trying to groom young people into being doctors. So mm-hmm. I picked up, and we went to the graduation. It was a blessing, so we started talking. And one of the teachers came up to me. He was a dude, and you could tell the dude was a faggot. So mm-hmm. she says to me, she says, Daddy, she says, you know, that teacher that came up to you, he's a homosexual. I was like, yeah. I said, how do you know that? She was like, well, we saw him walking in the hallway holding hands with another teacher. Now, that, I ain't never seen that, okay? I never saw that in elementary school, junior high school, even college. And if that is going on in school now, where my baby, who was 11 years old, saw that, then there must be some truth to what my sister's saying. And that's my piece.
Well, why don't you demand that your child be taken out of his classroom?
My child's not in his classroom.
Oh, okay. I thought that your child was being taught by them.
That was one of the teachers in the school. But the thing about it is that... Yes, sir.
No, it's another brother here. His dad was also. I want to let him
know. Oh, my bad.
It's cool.
You know, this is Bianchi, but you got it right. If your child is in a classroom being taught by someone that you don't feel comfortable, then you have a right to remove them. You know, I've seen in schools where black parents took their children out of a classroom that was being taught by a Nigerian claiming that his accent was too heavy. So, if they can use that excuse, I'm sure that you can use the same excuse legitimately to remove your child out of that type of environment.
Yes, sir. And I understand what you're saying, my brother. It's just that she's not in his class. It's just one of the teachers in the school. But the reality of the situation is I would have to literally take her out of the school. From what she's telling me, they were doing this in the hallway, these two male teachers, and one of her friends had seen them, and the friend sees it. The friend doesn't understand. So the friend says ill. And when the friend says ill, then they stop holding hands. So,
and you know, if it was another country, it would be something natural. And if I could say one thing, your child is thinking about becoming a doctor, don't forget to look at the Cuban medical program. It's 7 years, it's free, and those doctors do practice in the United States. Just check up on the Cuban medical program.
Okay, yes, sir, I will. Thank you.
But I wanted to say something to the caller, and he was talking about HIV. I mean, you're absolutely correct. That's the thing is they're trying to push, and that's all part of this homosexual plan. It was a 6-point plan, but that's one of the things is they wanted to
to make it seem like HIV is something that anyone can get. And we know technically it is. But when you look at the numbers, you know, 70% of all HIV cases are of homosexual men.
Right.
And they are less than 10% of the population.
Right.
Now, when you look at that number, you're less than 10, but you make up over 70% of HIV cases. That's astronomical. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but they like to try to keep that quiet. And then they're supposedly looking into right now, why it is that black gay men get HIV. They tend to get it quicker. They tend to die sooner from it. And they're trying to figure out why that is, because white men, tend to lead a longer life with HIV than black men. Black men tend to die much, much sooner when they have HIV. And like I said about my friend, I mean, it was in the blink of an eye. So this is what they're claiming to want to look at, but they wanted to make it seem like this is normal. But I wanted to talk about some of the other diseases that are out here that are, you know.
No, you need to go ahead and talk about that part in the video. That part in the video, before, after thing there, and a few other things. Talk about that.
About the words and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's happening right now is all these gay men, it's something like, oh, man, like maybe over 80% or so of them have HPV. And so this was something that in the beginning was supposedly affecting women, you know, for cervical cancer and things like this. Well, from the fact that these men are being penetrated, okay, they are now picking up this issue. This was when they came out with wanting to vaccinate women up until age 26 to try to keep them from getting this, you know, cervical cancer or whatever. So now you have all these gay men. They tend to always be carriers of it. And so what ended up happening is they got anal cancer. And so the anal cancer rate for gay men is 17 times the rate of heterosexual men. So now that has become this huge, I mean, it's a huge thing in the gay community that they're now vaccinating gay men against HPV. Now, mind you, this was something for women. So now they're vaccinating gay men for HPV, and now they have even begun to want gay men to get basically what is equivalent to what we get as a pap smear. But they want
an anal smear
yearly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see what you
they
said.
Want
Right.
Well, you know, the anal, your anus was not designed to have something to penetrate from the outside in. Penis wasn't designed, a penis was not designed to be inserted not only down somebody's throat, but a sperm wasn't designed to be deposited in a throat nor an anal tract.
No,
wasn't designed to be inserted up somebody's anal tract. That's why coming has it's shaped like it is.
Right.
So let me ask you a question. You a woman. If you knew, would you marry someone or date someone that was on the down low at one time?
Oh, no. I couldn't. Now, I know that that's wrong. Well, I'm not going to say it's wrong, but I'm one of those people. I'm not sure if I think some people can be rehabilitated, meaning that they are aware of what's going on. They may have had certain issues and things, and they have an awareness. However, I don't want to be an experiment. So I'm not trying to deal with if you're over men yet or if you backslide or what. No. So, no. I have to.
And what is the lingering effects of diseases?
Bacteria
that's lingering in your body that's dormant, hiding, and did that exist?
What happens is when you are participating in anal sex,
Now, mind you, most of these guys did not use protection, of course, because this is what happened. Most of them are like, okay, well, you know, with the woman, there's pregnancy, you know, women, we have our, you know, female things and stuff like that. So for them, it's just two men, basically like animals, if you want to look at it that way. And this is how they tend to react with each other. So there's no protection used. So what ends up happening there is it's very common to get, and in fact, one of my best friends had it, it's very common to get anal fistulas or anal abscesses. And I told the story to someone that when I took him to the hospital, he literally called me and was like, please come and take me to the hospital. He could barely sit in my car. And when I got him to the hospital and the doctor had came in and talked to him, he told me that the doctor asked him, do you participate in anal sex? And he told him no. And he said the doctor looked at him like,
you're lying.
Do you think I'm a fool? You know, but anyway, this is the type of things that happen. They can get the anal fistulas, the anal abscesses, and you can end up having a situation where you will begin to lose control of your bowels. So there's a muscle in there, and the damage that you can do to it, this majorly happens. They do something also called fisting. And that's when they can put their fist in there and all this kind of stuff. And that can actually kill you just by doing that. But it can cause your anal walls to collapse. And then also what people don't realize is there's only one layer. There's one layer between your bowels, the actual intestines, rather, and inside the anus. So what a lot of people will get is organ irritation. And that's because, you know, it's going so far inside, it actually begins to irritate their organs inside of them. Now, another thing that happens is because semen is not supposed to go there, it actually breaks down the immune system over time. And this is another reason why gay men, I mean, there's several reasons why they're more susceptible to HIV infection and everything else. But this is another big one, is because when you have semen deposited inside the anus, it does break down your immune system. It's not supposed to be there. And so it affects you adversely. And a lot of gay men, they don't want to acknowledge all of these medical issues, and mind you, every time, every single time that there's anal penetration, there is bleeding that occurs. Every time. Because that tissue was not made for that. The tissue is not able to withstand that. And so even if it's minor, now it can be very minor on a microscopic level, or it can be more major, but it's very well known amongst gay men that they're going to bleed. Mind you,
we're
not wearing condoms.
Well, let's clarify that, too. That's not even supposed to be done to a female by a male.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're not supposed to be sticking your penis up somebody's anal tract, whether it's female or male. And guess what? Not even in animals, because you got that stuff going on nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you do. Absolutely.
Well, if I could say one thing also to piggyback, but to follow what Sister's saying, you know, as an artist, when I was trying to get into that field before I dumped it, one of the things they told you is that it's very hard to get insurance as an artist. And the reason being is that they consider most artists to be homosexuals.
Mm.
So when you try to get insurance, it's hard and the premium is higher simply because
mm-hmm.
they know homosexuals have a high death rate because of what you're saying, Sister, which is that it has so many different health risks in it that they're not just going to throw their money away by giving you an insurance policy because you're a walking time bomb.
Right. Absolutely. And see, and some of you probably know this, but you cannot give blood. If you have had sex with a man since 1970, even if it was one time, it does not matter. You cannot give blood, period, point blank period. You cannot donate blood. And no one has gotten, they say no one has gotten infected, HIV-infected blood since 1989. But gay people are trying to rally and fight against this and get them to lift the ban because they're saying that they have all these testing now and that it's discrimination and all that. But how is this discrimination when it's clear, like I said, with the percentages, that you all do this? And this is a dangerous behavior, is having men having sex with men. And so because of that, they still have not lifted that ban. But again, this is what they're teaching kids, that this is an acceptable lifestyle, that it's healthy, and it's nothing wrong with it. And it's just not true.
You know, another thing, too, Obama's safe school czar, Kevin Jenkins. You know, he's ahead of Glenn Singh. And back in 2000, he was responsible. He was participated in putting on a seminar in Massachusetts amongst public school students, elementary students. And in some of the workshops at this seminar, at this forum, they had topics like, should you swallow or spit it out? It was talking about fisting. They was having these discussions with elementary school children, you know, as young as 12 years, maybe 11 years old.
And that's, see, that's what people don't understand. This is what y'all need to understand. Not you guys. I know you guys have an awareness. But all of that stuff that you were just talking about, all of those things become mandated in one way or another when gay marriage is passed in your state. Because then it becomes something that they have to teach, okay, according to the state, because the state recognizes it as legal. So now the children began to have these books they had to read, King and King, Daddy and His Roommate. These are real books, Daddy and His Roommate, okay, for elementary kids. Okay, and then when they get, as they go up, you know, middle school, but when they get to high school, when they get to high school, they give them so much information and telling them how two boys can properly have sex.
They also, in the kindergarten, that they have Daddy Bear and Father Bear, Mommy Cat and Mother Cat.
Wow. And see, that's all a lie. And I have argued with many, many gay people about this gay parenting thing, and they don't like me for it, because I told them that is a lie. You are lying to these children. No one, because the little kids say things like, some people have two mommies or two daddies. No one has two mommies or two daddies. That's a lie. Everyone came from a mother and a father, or took what a man has and it took what a woman has. Okay, no one came from some man's behind, okay? It did not happen. And it's lying to children. It's misleading them. And, you know, they were fighting me saying, well, the kids, the research shows that the kids turn out okay. They turn out just as good as, you know, heterosexual kids and blah, 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 blah. First of all, that's a lie, because there's no real data for this. This has only been much more widely accepted, and with this gay marriage passing so that they can legally adopt children and all that, for the last 15, 20 years, 20, 25 at the most, where this is beginning to kind of be more recognized. Men and women have been raising children since literally the beginning of time. How can you tell me some accurate numbers for what these children become? They're not even grown yet, and you don't know the long-standing effects of having all this confusion. And so, you know, they're trying to tell me that they're just as good, and two moms can do and two dads can do the same. And I said, no, they can't. You can never, and I don't care who you are on this earth,
even children who are adopted, what do they always tend to do? Look for their mother, look for their birth mother at some point in their life. And you can never, you should never want to take a mother out of a child's life. And I just feel that's brutal to take this baby and then you've got these two men sitting here raising you.
And what about, you know, growing up? Because I know just having a heterosexual mother, if you have a single mom or even if you have two parents in the home, you know, the amount of joking and teasing, nothing's off limits. So
right.
When you have two moms or two dads, can you imagine? Like, I didn't have any friends that had that situation. So I know that, you know, when everybody got together and they decided to crack on each other, you know what I'm saying, and get really, really brutal. Nobody had that to use. But imagine if you had that to use it, or somebody had that to use it. I mean, that would be traumatizing to epic proportions, to the point where you would be scarred for life if dudes was really getting on you about your mom and her and her friend or your dad and his friend.
And this guy was telling me, he was like, well, you're so wrong because, you know, we can do just as good a job when you're mean and you're evil. And the kids are fine. And I said, okay, let me ask you, did you grow up with a mother, two mothers, or two fathers? No, he didn't. And most of these gay people didn't. They grew up with their mother and father. So you're asking a child to do something you yourself didn't even do.
Right.
But you're saying it's okay for them to do it. It's okay for them to have, quote-unquote, two dads or two moms, but you had a mama and daddy. You know, and that's why I say it's very selfish. It's very selfish to allow this gay adopting and things. And they say, how is it selfish for us to take care of a child? Well, it's selfish because you are forcing the child into confusion. You are forcing them to accept something and validate you because that's about them wanting to feel like a normal couple. A normal married couple, a normal family. They want to feel like that, even though it's two men or two women. So they want these kids in the situation to try to make it like, oh, these are our kids, and we're just as normal as everybody else. But the kid is the one that has to bend and twist and fit into this situation. They're the one that has to make the adjustment.
Well, they go after the children. And, you know, they always hide amongst heterosexuals. They have to in order to survive. If you would put them in a remote spot all by themselves, sooner or later they would just go away. They would go extinct.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, some of these kids, and people sent me a lot of things, and a lot of these kids have been molested, are being molested by these, you know, because a lot of gay people were foster parents. And they were getting all these different kids, and they were molesting them. And they try to act like, you know, a lot of gay people, they really hate that, the pedophile thing. But honestly, there is truth to it. It's something like, and again, I looked into all of these things, but it's something like they're 7 times more likely to be a pedophile than a heterosexual person. That's substantial.
Wow.
Well, in California, pedophilia is now considered a lifestyle.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah,
California is
considered a lifestyle now, bro.
California legislators voted pedophilia as a lifestyle, just as they voted transgender rights, where your children go to school in the morning, a boy come back home, a woman, a girl.
Right.
And they also recognize marriage to pets.
Okay. So now we're talking straight death. We're talking straight war in the street. We're talking straight anarchy because ain't no goddamn way I'm going to send my son to school, a boy, he come back a girl, and somebody ain't going to die that goddamn day.
I hear that.
Let me piggyback on something I heard, or let me throw back on something I heard earlier. Two teachers walking down the hall holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
If that is not all-out warfare and a threat to every young male and female in that whole school building, I don't know what it is. I mean,
well,
like Arnie Duncan was taken from Chicago. Arnie Duncan was a flaming faggot. When Obama tapped him to become the man over all the schools in America, this faggot was in Chicago trying to produce a homosexual high school. So now think about this. The energy that Obama done put in over all the schools is a flaming bitch-ass, long-nosed, tall, geek-looking cracker. Fag. At that. Now, what's that really saying? I mean, every single school in this country right now is under shitboy watch. Every single one of them. These motherfuckers are violent. They take boys. They rape them. They molest them. They destroy them. They do this shit all the time. They're nasty, and they need their asses killed. That's just what it is. You ain't gonna make my son no damn female. I'm killing you. I'm just going to say it right on that.
Well, I tell you what. I don't know how old your son is. You better start talking to your son right now.
I already am. I got him right now. I already am.
Because I'm telling you, you don't know the pressures that's out there when you are not around your child. It is outright pressures, not only in the when you're around people, but just from the TV, the advertisements that you're watching, these programs and things. And, you know, I don't care what people do in the confines of their own privacy, but if I know you are, I got a right to not want to associate with you.
Uh-huh.
And I surely don't want you having contact with my children. That's my child. I, as an adult, have the responsibility for providing the safety and the well-being of my child until my child is old enough to make those decisions themselves.
Right, but with this transgender thing, they're now doing all the gender-neutral restrooms. So they're telling me as a woman that I can go in the restroom and a man who got a damn wig on and a dress and some high heels on and says they're a woman can come in there. And there's nothing that I can say or do about it because it's gender neutral, and they don't want to offend people who are transsexual or what they call gender bender or whatever.
And, they confuse.
Right. But they don't want to offend them. So as women, we should just allow this. And these people are men. And like I said, these people, you know, and a lot of women take their kids in the bathroom with them. I mean, it's just, I just can't believe some of this stuff is happening. Like, why do I have to allow this man, this is not a woman. Just because you say you are a woman, that does not change what you are. You were born as a man. You have male DNA, okay? You have the makings of a man. And just because you say you're a woman, they're supposed to validate it. And that's why I say, you know, the, you know, they tend to try to make anything academic that they want to get over on people. So they try to give this stuff a name and a definition in order to make it okay and justify it so nobody can say anything. So this whole transsexual thing, or what they're calling gender dysphoria now, and they're trying to say now that it's not really a mental illness. Are you kidding me? How is it not a mental illness when you a man big as they and you putting a wig on and taking hormones and all this stuff and saying you're a woman? That's not mental illness.
Well, you don't have to even go that far. You can be obvious a male, and it's in your mind, it's your psychic that said that you say to yourself, I'm a girl. Here in this area, we had a lawsuit from a family who, boy, wanted to play on a girls' sports team in high school. and also participate and utilize the shower facilities and everything else.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Uh-uh. But this is exactly what's happening. This is exactly what's happening. Just like we have in our community, this crap with these boys trying to be in AKA. That is the most disgusting thing that I've heard in all of this stuff, because this is an organization, whether or not I really advocated or not, but this is an organization that was built on black women, okay, in college, and, you know, been around since, what, 1908. And now you have black men, black young men, coming in here saying, we want to be in the sorority and we're going to sue you in order to be included because this is discrimination.
Well,
I'm speaking to this, man. This is crazy, man. This is real crazy. Let me take a quick break here. Something I got to address. Okay. Come back.
Joey and Rickard. For the ladies. Oh, yeah, that.
Want the wine, girl, me want the wine. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine.
Oh,
I remember the first time when you touched me and your wine and come up and go down. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. I remember when we first met and you tell me you nah give me bun. Girl, wine and come up and go down. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. After she month pass, it look like you not really remember how fi touch me. You get so boring and you start chop asleep. Then you get lazy. Better next girl and go play your part. Yes, a next girl and go play your part. Me no like boring girl, you fi talk. Don't make me tell you what fi do when you see Charlie Black. Just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Come on, see now your head now, you red now. Just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Come on, see now your head now, you red now. Come wind up your body for me, ninja. One wheel bike, me no pick up passenger. Me want see you seven more times, so no linger. Girl, you God bless man like me little finger. When me touch sweet, you fish out like higgler. This is not a laughing thing, me you no giggler. Me hand round your neck well tight like gibbler. Touch me like you want time if you come in Libya,
yeah,
just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Cabot in your head now, you red now. Just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Cabot in your head now, you red now. Hey girl, my love waiting for you. Dust off yourself and come with me gear. Make we go book a weekend down a Rio. Make me change your eye like money a cambio. A next girl and go play your part. Yes, a next girl and go play your part. Me no like boring girl if you talk. Don't make me tell you what fi do when you see Charlie Black. Just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Lick a bus in your head now, you red now. Just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Lick a bus in your head now, you red now.
I remember the first time when you touch me and you wine and come up and go down. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. I remember when we first met and you tell me you nah give me bun. Girl, why not come up and go down? To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine.
Oh.
Greetings. Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. I'm learning some stuff. Some stuff is new because I don't really get into a lot of shows kind of like this. But I see that it's somewhat of an epidemic on things that are going on here, and they're destroying us as a people. Everybody's line is open, but Sister Renee, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I want you to go ahead and try to chime in on the ending part, pretty much, of your video.
Okay. I was talking about how, you know, this basically works in favor for a group of people who don't want us to be building. They don't want us to build black families and, you know, they don't want our population to increase. And so there's many different ways that, you know, they're going about doing that, and this being one of them. And I basically, you know, was just trying to make the point that we need to be aware of that, you know, because so many people have drank the Kool-Aid and think that, you know, this is living their truth. And this is, you know, there's nothing wrong with it and all this kind of stuff. But we have to look at the bigger picture in the black community. And I want black people to understand anytime something is being pushed or I'll say promoted to the black community, especially black men, when has it ever been something positive? When has it ever been something beneficial for our people? And that's the same thing with this, you know, with the sports and with the, now with it's all in hip hop and everything else. This and so many of these young, I'm talking about these young guys, they see it as a good thing. They see it as, I was looking on some people's page today on Facebook, these young guys, and I mean, they see it as a great thing for these rappers and different people to be gay and be out here. And that's what I'm saying. When has anything like this has been promoted, been good for us? We got to understand this is not good. This is not living truth. This is not positive. And the other part on the end, I'm talking about just thinking about our ancestors and all that they went through. I mean, the fact of our male ancestors having to go through such humiliation, having to go through them having to lower their manhood or their masculinity. They had to cower down in order to even exist and be alive to get us here today. And I just think, like, wow, how would they feel, or how do they feel, you know, if they're able to, you know, if they know what's going on, like, how would they feel about this, about what's happened to our black men, you know? And let me be clear, it's rampant amongst black women too. I mean, it's even more with lesbianism. I mean, it's, you know, the only distinction I make about that is there's penetration with men, and also that many of the women, I feel like, from what I can tell, being that most of them have children, a lot of times it's a thing out of they just adapting, some type of, you know, wanting to fit in. But anyway, but yeah, I just talked about what would the ancestors think, what would they feel about this. What would they see that the black family is like, man, it's, I don't want to say it's gone. I don't want to say it just can't be ever repaired, but it's very damaged. And so what would they feel?
I think they pretty much been lost their damn. They'd probably be glad they were dead going ahead looking at this shit here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go ahead and deny that, you know, hey, look, I went through all this shit, and you look back and like, damn, look at what y'all done.
Right.
That's sad.
Involuntarily.
Involuntarily. And after you go ahead and you look at the history of how things was forced on us, you go ahead and you want to do this. like I said, I don't really talk about that too much. I go ahead and I try to stay on what I'm doing, but I kind of weaken my position because I think there were some things, especially listening to you, there were some things, and then that video, a couple of your videos, oh, they just blew me back. What was it? Hey, boy, pussy.
This one I want to say to you, Chef, but I want to say to, in general, to black men, is that we need you all to be involved in this. And I know a lot of black men, a lot of black men, don't want to talk about this. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to really see any of the, like, they don't want to acknowledge this at all. But,
yeah.
But, we need, for straight black men, for heterosexual black men, men who are fathers, men who are husbands, men who are, you know, around on the right path as far as that, we need you all to be involved because a lot of these men need to see some type of role model, even though they may be adults, but they need to see something that's the anti-popular, you know what I mean? All of this stuff over here is what's popular and what's being pushed as a trend and all that. But they need to see. They need to see examples. They need to have men who are, like I said, straight and everything, talk to them, engaging them with a dialogue. This guy was talking about how he overcame homosexuality.
How'd you do that?
Well, a big thing he said is he had to completely switch the way that he looked at men because he looked at men in a sexual way, and he had to begin to look at men in a brotherly way, as this is my brother, this is my friend, you know, in that way, and not sexualize it. So he said that, I think, but he was involved in church or something, but he was saying that he had to build relationships, build friendships with straight men that knew what he was overcoming and things like that, and engage with them in going out and doing masculine activities and be around people. But see, that's the thing. What you focus on expands. So when you stay, and see, that's the reason why a lot of these people don't get out, these men don't get out of that, because they all boost each other up. They all validate each other, and they hang around each other. They live around each other. They talk to each other. They hang around each other. They stay in those groups, in those circles. So that way you're kind of shutting out, you know, the outside world and what's really going on with it. And you're staying in that whole gay mindset. So that's the thing. He had to break out of that. He had to make an effort to stop being around those people. He had to stop. He had to stop hanging with gay people. He had to start being around straight men and doing certain activities, fishing, whatever it was, to fish that around. And it's something that works for him.
You know what else has complicated this present condition that we're experiencing? And no one ever wants to correlate the two. And not only with this present conversation, but also other areas. And that's the abortion of black babies that has occurred since 1973. Anytime you abort 18 million black babies, what in the world do you expect the outcome is going to be down the road?
Absolutely.
And you have then you complicate that with the number of incarcerations in the federal prison system, state prison system, and also local jails. Now you got a heck of a problem on your hands.
And even on a spiritual note, if you look at it from a spiritual perspective, you see these homosexuals these pedophiles out here are actually, you know, they're deceiving people in a way that I don't think most of us even recognize. A lot of us don't even see it, you know, through media and everything else, all this hype that they got out here. You know, there's so many ways and so many places that they are in control of. You know, it's like if we really pull the cover off all this. Matter of fact, I tell you what, a white man said it best. Alex Jones did a video not too long ago, and Alex Jones said that most of the countries, the European countries, are ran by pedophile rings. So he himself said it, that European men are pedophiles, basically, in most of these countries, and that's what's running the world. And he suggested a movie to get, and the movie was Hostel. So if you haven't seen Hostel and you really want to know what's going on in this world with the Europeans that are controlling this world, the white men who are fags, undercover fags, what's what they are. You just get that movie 1 and 2. You sit down and watch 1 and 2 of Hostel, and you will see just how dangerous this game is, this homosexual, this pedophilia, this asphyxiation with feces. And you know, the European has had that for a long time. If you go into, you know, his history, you find that he has a fascination with feces. There's a book that you can get right now. As a matter of fact, the book is called Stuck Up. It's a medical book about doctors, an X-ray tech's life as an X-ray tech. All the things that he's seen ramped up in somebody's anal orifice. And I'm like, one was a pea shooter, a six shooter, a gun, rammed up in somebody's behind. And then that's way back in the 1800s. I mean, ever since they've had X-rays, this is what they've been seeing. White people coming there with stuff stuck up in their behind. It went from way back into when they first started it until now. They saw an iPod or something like that. You know, iPods ain't even been out that long. So what you doing with an iPod up in your behind? Yes, the book is called Stuck Up. You can get it right now on Amazon. Stuck Up. I'm not kidding. These Europeans have a fascination with sticking things in the anus. Look at how many words they use with the word anal. Anal retentive, anal this, anal that, in the dictionaries. Anal. What the hell is all these words? How are these words being connected to anuses, dookie, and what the hell? I mean, this is the sick mind of this cracker. This cracker is dangerous as hell. I don't think we recognize he is coming physically for us now. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. He's coming after the babies. And when you declare war on the babies, you declare war on the whole nation. It's over with. Time talking is done. It's done. Yeah. There's no legislation we can pass. We're going to have to keep on speaking, doing these videos, doing these lectures, and it's going to commence to tear an ass up.
You have black people talking about, leave them alone.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's their business, and why you worry about it? That's personal, and all these kind of things, but that's just the point. I guess they don't. Not see that this is being used against you. Why are you trying to protect something that breeds death? Like, why is that being protected? I cannot understand it. And beyond that, when people say, you know, it's none of your business or it does not affect you, and this is what they will always say about gay marriage too, it does. Just how I told you guys, when it's approved, it changes everything. It changes everything. It changes what your children will learn. So it does affect everybody. You know, to the bathrooms, to the school curriculum, to your workplace. You know, like I said, the gays had a 6-point plan. And, boy, did they ever uphold that. In the 80s, they came out with a book talking about how in the 90s they would basically normalize homosexuality. Well, they didn't really achieve that in the 90s, but they have done, woof, they made a dent in it, and basically now it is normalized. and they succeeded at most of those things, which was change the workplace, everything.
Yeah, they're carrying out the Homosexual Manifesto at this time. That is an actual document, the Homosexual Manifesto. Get that document and read it. Google it, Homosexual Manifesto. If you haven't seen it, it is a must-read to know where we are right now and where we are going. All of the courts are going to be taken over by homosexuals.
Mm-hmm. Then,
homosexuals. So
then
you know
you
what happens
this,
when they do it, when they take over the court system.
Then you got this government, and especially this particular administration, the Democrat, these progressives, they want to impose homosexuality, same-sex marriage, in the African countries.
Mm-hmm.
Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
Uganda, Zambia. You know, and these people say that this is not in our culture. And then
right.
this is the demonic thing about it. They say, well, if you want aid dollars, you're going to have to up your society to same-sex marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. They're going to go ahead and force them into it if you don't want this. But it's been some people some leaders in Africa that's been rejecting it. I can't remember which one. Was it even the guy, the brother in charge of Uganda, he's like, you know, okay, well, we don't want that.
Yeah, Mosemene signed a bill restricting, and you know, here's the point. That is their society and culture.
Mm-hmm.
What in the hell has the United States got any business, Hillary Clinton, Obama, why in the heck you got any business trying to make these people do something that's not normal to them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've also seen, I guess some people sent me some stuff for me. You got to really check out the news from those areas, from the local newspapers in Africa, and they say a hell of a lot different stuff than what you're seeing. And I mean, like, they don't want it. They don't want it. They don't want you to go ahead and to push it on them. You can, and some of the brothers and sisters say, look, you can keep your aid. We're going to figure out a way to do this by ourselves. And eventually, some people saying, hey, we're going to eventually kick your ass out of here if that's what you want to push on us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I talked to some people just today. I was talking to somebody from Senegal today, and they brought that up about, Why is you talk about Obama going ahead and coming there, and when he was in Gambia, you know, trying to go ahead and tell us that, hey, we need to go ahead and recognize this. He said that was the biggest thing that he was pushing for, was to do that, and then in public. But he was also saying, hey, look, behind the scenes, it was kind of like a different message. They want to go ahead and set up, bring in more U.S. advisors to protect him from the growing threat of terrorism and all that other shit. But it was also still trying to tell him, hey, look, well, we can go ahead and help you with these terrorists if you go ahead and do this thing here. And these countries, like I said earlier, these countries have some of the biggest amount of European pedophiles coming to them. It's a lot of European people, whites, coming to Africa to go ahead and have sex with children.
Started pornography, man.
Go ahead and make that legal. It was something. Hold on, Pianki. Let me say this real quick. A few months back, I never really paid attention to it. I never really paid attention to, you know, what makes a Jew a Jew. So one of the things that makes a Jew a Jew for male Jews, they got to be circumcised. So the rabbis performed the circumcision. So at the end of him cutting that skin off, the rabbi sucks the baby's penis. And I'm like, you got to get the fuck out of here. So what really messed my head up was, as I was looking at other articles, I saw that, hey, look, New York made it legal for pedophiles, certain types of pedophilia behavior to be illegal. And it was just mind-boggling that they were saying that because the rabbis go ahead and have to suck the baby's wang, that has to be legal. We need to pay attention to what these guys are going ahead and do. Laws ain't shit. That don't mean a goddamn fucking laws. As long as you got more, you can go ahead and push your goddamn laws. And it's crazy if they want to push something like that The other thing that was disturbing about that thing about the rabbis is that they had these rabbis that was that seemed like they was bragging how they do like 25,000. You hear me? 25,000. One dude doing these circumcisions. Plus, they had a lot of these babies, a lot of these boys that had died from herpes.
Yep.
And I was like, man, ain't nobody you not paying attention to the bigger picture?
Right.
I mean, you know, when they say truth is stranger than fiction, man.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That shit is real. That's real. And they're everywhere. Mm. Everywhere. Everywhere. All over the damn place.
Man, because that thing about the rabbis boasting about going ahead and sucking out 25,000 babies, I mean, what kind of parents are you? I mean, there's no reason I get to stay away from religion. And I stay far away from it because it got a lot of bullshit in it. But this thing here is most disturbing, that you doing them same practices today. I mean,
yeah,
I don't understand.
And
here's
the
something else. Let me make this point real quick. Being a chef, right? I've been in kitchens where they have to go ahead. The Jew is hired the kitchen. I worked for some restaurants, hotels where the Jews are hired the kitchen. They're going to throw a big party, big whatever, whatever. And they got to get some guy to come in and make sure the kitchen is kosher enough to speed. I mean, these cats that came in the kitchen, there's one place I worked in, I ain't seen neither one of these fuckers wash their goddamn hands, and they going through meats and touching this and touching that, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here. One cat was like, we need to check the eggs. So he cracking the eggs open. I'm like, what are you looking for? We're looking for blood in the eggs. You got to go ahead and do damn near 4 dozen eggs? And so what am I supposed to do with them fucking eggs you done messed up? See, you know, because it's all a bunch of damn nonsense with all that old shit. But these cats come in, want to go ahead, and we got to go ahead and bless the kitchen, make sure it's right. I mean, it's all of it's crazy. All of it's crazy, man.
Damn.
I'm looking at these messages, you know, that people send me today. It's just ridiculous. I mean.
Oh, read a couple. Read a couple.
Okay. Let me see here. Things they say is crazy.
They
this
say.
Guy, let me see. This guy, I asked him to just please leave me alone. Let me see. Because he's just completely foolish and, I keep trying to
what he got to say. I need to hear this.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, now this guy, this is not the guy I'm talking about, but this is this guy. He's supposed to be straight. Now, I get a whole bunch of these, too, where they're supposed to be straight, but they defend him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I do not agree with what you are saying, but I did respect your point of view. Until you try to throw a jab at him about his butthole being stretched. This shows you are immature. Let me school you on what you think you know about the black community. Black men being gay is the least of the black community's problem. Let's talk about straight black men that make babies and do not take care of them. Let's talk about black women who act like whores and have these 10 babies with nobody as niggas. Let's talk about how we kill, steal, and rob each other over a pair of Jordans. Once we tackle those issues and a lot other issues, then we can focus on gay men. I just want to say I have nothing against gay men or women.
You know, here's one of the problems with that. You know, those are legitimate issues to deal with. Well, I disagree with him going ahead and trying to women. I mean, because a woman going ahead and having babies is a man that was involved, so you need to go ahead and still come back and talk to these niggas out here. But
right.
You still need to go ahead and deal with these. All the things need to be discussed. But one thing that's going ahead and making us defenseless is making guys punks. That's wrong.
Mhm. Mhm. But see, that's what I tell them. They keep trying to point to other things, and nobody ever. They never want to talk about the actual issue.
they keep wanting to say, well, these guys out here having all these babies. Okay, but you not, how y'all going, we're not going to have any.
But wait a minute. I mean, but wait a minute. But hold on. But these guys out here having babies. Okay, so let's. Why are you letting some of these babies being raised out here to go ahead and go through that kind of shit?
Right. But they don't, you know, they don't want to deal with this. Here, this guy talking about. This is somebody else, but he's saying, my sister knew I was gay when I was 3 years old. I've met three-year-old boys that I will not be surprised if they're gay later on in life. Now I can see the argument about homosexuality being more visible now because causing the kids of this generation to identify as gay or even want to emulate gay men because they find them funny or what have you. But the real question is, how will someone like me who grew up in the 80s, 90s, when homosexuality was not nearly as accepted or even visible, could be identified as being gay in that time period? Gay youth have one of the highest rates of suicide. How many stones are we going to throw before we realize that by blaming gay black males for this problem, for the problems in our community, we are ignoring the real fact that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God?
Oh, my.
So, God. I know that.
Nigga, what?
Here they come with their little crazy mess.
Right. I don't know you, sister. I don't presume to know your life choices. But I wonder how many sins you have committed and are still committing. Are you really
talking
going to
sin
do that?
Stuff. The hell with Jesus.
To yourself or will we just, right. And that's just another way to divert attention. And I had to tell some, again, black women trying to.
And what
do
you say about the three-year-old? How in the hell a three-year-old know anything about sex anyway?
Thank you. And these black women are dragging me down.
It still goes back to that, hey, look, I was born gay. You wasn't born gay. You was born with certain features, maybe a few different traits, but you weren't born to go ahead and think about sex. You got people that go their whole lives, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and probably ain't never had sex. So
it's just ridiculous. But see, that's gay propaganda. That's what people don't understand. That's gay propaganda. They put that stuff out in the atmosphere for these gay people to pick up and use and say, oh, I do since I was a little kid, because they all say the same thing. And I know for me, I cannot remember when I was three or whatever, four, but I can't remember what I was doing or said or whatever. I mean, I was playing and I was a little kid. I mean, I can't say I like this or that. And I had to break again. Some black women came at me about this kind of thing, and they wanted me to explain myself. Of how, you know, my gay friend, he knew he was gay when he was five and all this kind of stuff. And all this. And I told them, first of all, people don't understand that kids, it's normal for them to have same-sex like up until age 12 because it's not sexualized. They like another girl or boy. They can like them. But it's not on the level of an adult. Thinking in the sexual mindset is completely different. And until they go through puberty or that adjustment stage of becoming, you know, sexual or sexually aware, it's completely normal. That's number one. And like I told them, number two, it's people who project this gay image onto children because there are naturally men who are more feminine. There are naturally women who are more masculine. It does not denote them being homosexual. It is us as people and adults that project those things onto children. And like I said, even in some of the research I did, these gay men said, hey, I did not ever like men. I didn't have a desire to like little boys or anything. But because I was effeminate, being around women, being, you know, raised by nothing but women, people would tell me, you're gay, you act like a fag, you act like a girl. And when, again, being a kid, you know, being very impressionable, people making suggestions to you, the power of suggestion is very strong. And so a lot of them thought, well, maybe that's what I am. And we don't realize all of this stuff has an effect.
You know, it's almost like going ahead and dealing with that issue. You know, are you born a bigot? Are you born a racist? You know, so nobody's born that way. It's some taught behavior. It's the behavior, it's the environment that you're around.
Hey, this here, and I'm sick of hearing this crap here too. This woman sounds bitter and frustrated. No surprises there, since black women are the least desirable women due to the fact that they're very belligerent and not very feminine.
Wait. What is she? Is somebody telling you this?
Yeah, this is a message to me.
Oh, my goodness.
No wonder black men don't want to marry them. Also, why are black people loved so much of the Bible, the same book that was used to justify their enslavement, murder, and rape? Low IQ idiots. Okay, I agree with the last part about the Bible, but I constantly hear that too. That you cannot blame black women for these men being gay. I'm sick of hearing that. I'm just completely sick of hearing that.
It's a very complicated issue. Like you say, you can't blame, but when you know, a person can say part of the reason because these boys are being raised by women and not having male content to be exposed. I mean, real men. I don't mean it's more than men. It's different between a male and a man.
Absolutely.
And a difference between a man and an OG.
Right. Oh, yeah. Let me read y'all this message. This guy, we was going around and around. He really cannot stand me. But this is before they took the video down. He saw it. You know, the white man taught you. And he said to me, this is some of the most ignorant and ill-informed crap I've heard in years. How dare this ignorant heifer spew this bigoted and racist bull? Mind you, this is a black man. The sad part is that the more she speaks, the more non-gay people will listen to her stupid ass. It's pathetic just listening to her flawed logic. Did y'all notice all the beautiful black women she illustrated in this slideshow? Not one of them represented the norm of today's black women. Even worse, not one of those women appeared to be morbidly obese, which is the norm for today's black women. Not one. According to the National Institutes of Health, morbid obesity is a chronic illness characterized by a BMI 40 or more. Face it, it is the ugly truth. Also, she won't address why more and more men, never mind black men, have become less and less interested in black women. She'd rather keep you hyped up and angry as she is instead of encouraging you to use your brain. Wow. notice you don't see her own.
Is that on your Facebook page?
No, this is on YouTube. Notice
you
don't see her own.
Bring them over. We're gonna have you on again.
Notice you don't see her own photo on here anywhere. So it really comes down to an issue of social class and physical attraction compared to sexual orientation. Listen, people, not only is this woman a bigot, she is ghetto, angry, racist, misguided, deceitful, profoundly ignorant, cowardly, and is
when you got to go ahead, invite him over so we can have that discussion.
I actually am, because he's a producer.
A producer of what?
of shows, of gay programs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bring the individual over. You know, hey, look, shit, tell him to call me.
Yeah, I'm going to message him. But, yeah, he has a show. He produced a show on YouTube about these two black men that are in a couple. And they had a young black man. I think he's like 19 or so, 18. Move in with them. And he's trying to get his life on track because he was a thug and all this kind of stuff. And, yeah, I can't even. And that's what I said. I had watched. I said, well, how long before one of them sleep with him?
because that's what they're trying to imply. Because one or both of them is attracted to him. He's heterosexual. Okay, he's living with these two gay men.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Oh man. Yeah, we give him my number. Tell him to go ahead and give me a call, you know, so we can set something up. Brother Dawa, he hung up too, man. He dropped off. Because actually, me and him, I'm trying to collaborate something with him so we can go ahead and put this in a different form and format. So I'm going to need to get with him tomorrow, man. Because, man, you gave me a lot of information, and all y'all gave me some more stuff to think about. Because I guess I was one of those ones, oh, just stay the fuck away from me with that shit.
Right.
Now that's going to be part of my fight. You know, how can we go ahead and move ahead when we got this segment of our population going ahead losing their damn mind?
And I'm just trying to tell people, you know, and I just don't want to see it get worse, but I know it is. I know it's going to have to, because that's just the nature of us at this point in time. We want to ignore everything, and we want to just, you know, and a lot of this, like I said, it's a freak level to it, too.
You want it to go ahead. You want it to go away.
Yeah, we want it to go away. Like, it's just going to disappear.
Right.
You know, sweep it under the carpet, under the rug, and, yeah, just let it fade away. And that's not going to happen. Until we send people's actual home, staring them in the face big time, then, you know, they're going to act like it's not there.
Mm-hmm. So what's your next project? Or have you started working
on? I'm working on, now, by the end of this summer, I'm going to Atlanta to start filming for the documentary, because I'm filming down there, which is the most wonderful place to do this as far as gay black people. And because my friend, he is a documentarian, and he lives in Atlanta. He lives in Decatur, and so, yeah, I'm excited about that. But right now I'm working on this video about, well, it's basically about interracial dating. It's about how these people like Tommy Sotomayor, and they put white women on a pedestal. And, you know, they saying all these things, the hair has the weaves, and calling black women beasties and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just basically addressing that, and I'm showing how these white women have just as many weaves. I'm documenting very clearly how they have weaves in their hair and everything, you know.
Okay, wait, let me ask the question, because I'm now something. So black women, a lot of them would get that synthetic stuff as weave, and then they get that Indian hair. Where did the white women get their hair from?
I guess the same places. But the difference is some of them, because I guess the texture of the hair is different, some of them can wear more synthetic hair, but they're getting their hair from the same things. You know, there are Indian women, and there are also white women and other races of women that cut their hair off and sell it. So, I mean, and then when they treat the hair, you know, they'll dye it blonde, they'll do different things to it. Yeah, so it just blends in with their hair. So it's all the same thing. It's just, you know, basically how they treat it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
But they're just as sweet.
Yeah. You know what? We're coming to an end. I'm going to have to do some things here. I'm going to be back on tomorrow, and I'll go ahead and post my topic. It's been great having you, sister.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, Chef.
We're going to go ahead and I'll give you a call. We'll collaborate on something else. I got to take care of something real quick. Brother Pianca, okay. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, but I'm getting ready to go.
There you go, brother. There you go. I'm glad you showed up, brother. And the other callers and some people didn't put their hands up. I opened the people's line, but nobody really said anything. But okay, I'm glad y'all showed up.
All right, I'll see y'all later.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
It's time for us to go terrorize some people. Ain't that right, Ray?
Right.
There you go. All right.
I've done enough terrorizing, though.
We ain't finished. I've been here for a long time, and I love doing it. All right, that's my show. Hope to see you tomorrow. Peace.
My hand for you.